an infinite timeline, we're all just heading back to cable. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
Anthony, in the words of the great Salt and Peppa, let's talk about sex.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what a man.
Well, also, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
Or Rocket Spinderella. I thought you were going to say Rocket Spinderella.
No, let's talk about sex, baby.
Okay.
Let's talk about you and me. Talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be.
Well, we co-own a business together, and I think we need to keep that in mind before we dive into anything romantic.
Well, before
we do anything physical, I think, you know, you are married, and that's a topic that should be broached with your significant other. But I will say,
good points.
For everybody that's been waiting 6 years, I will say, yeah, I'm open to it.
Good. Well, more importantly than that, I think once again, it's time to bone up on boning down. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and let me get out the bone up on boning down. Let me make sure that the jingle plays.
Good. Okay. Yeah. We got to bone up on boning down.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'll put it in post. It's been a while since we've used the bone up on boning down jingle. It used to be, of course, a weekly segment.
Yep.
People have been writing in
and they missed it. You know?
Yeah.
This is an article that was sent to us on the old Discord, the greatest place, Discord. Best place to send stories and post stories in the cool science news channel on our Discord, which you can join for just $1 a month. ESO posted this story, which is a BBC.com story about, you guessed it, Neanderthal sex. We know.
I did think it was going to be about Neanderthal sex.
Yeah, I thought you might.
Yeah.
We know, of course.
But I've just had Neanderthal sex on my mind for like the last couple days.
You've just been hoping everything's been about Neanderthal sex.
I'll tell you, sometimes, you know, it's that first day of spring. Everything looks like Neanderthal sex energy over here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not spring, though, right?
Why is it 90 degrees in Los Angeles then?
That's true. It is 90 degrees at our houses. In January, the end of January. So
it's fine. It's all
that
fine.
One. Science.
Tell me about Neanderthal sex. Neanderthal sex.
We know that Neanderthals and ancient humans are more direct ancestors. They got it on
quite frequently.
There was a lot of getting of it on. Mm-hmm. We know that. Why? Well, because we share a lot of DNA. In fact, we found.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Frequently.
I'm going to say everything like that because we're talking about sex.
Oh, good. This won't be tedious at all.
Yeah.
We found some bones in a really remote location all the way in outer Spain that in fact had 6 to 9% Neanderthal DNA in it. Modern humans have about 1 to 3% Neanderthal DNA. So it's triple what you would expect to find. And by the way, every human has between 1 and 3% Neanderthal brain. There isn't one of us walking on this planet that doesn't have some Neanderthal DNA. Even humans that are descended from Africans, which scientists don't even think that Neanderthals were on the African continent.
Yeah.
So we don't even know why that would be. That is like an unexplained mystery as of yet. Why literally every human has some Neanderthal DNA in them. But these particular ones that were found, which dated back to like about 37,000 years ago, they had between 6 and 9%, which basically means that the people that gave them the Neanderthal DNA, the hooking up that happened that put the Neanderthal DNA in them, probably happened within about 200 years before they were born. So it's basically like their great, great grandparents or great, great, great grandparents in that range. So pretty recently to where these human ancestors lived. That means that the boning down was happening pretty close to right around the time that Neanderthals went extinct. We think Neanderthals went extinct about 40,000 years ago.
Okay.
And so there was a lot of boning down that was happening right before they went extinct. And this article kind of goes into the questions of like, well, what was that like? How did that work exactly?
What was it like wanting to, what was it like just wanting to bone down before you become extinct?
Well, what was it like boning down interspecies? For example, was there kissing? Was this like more animalistic in its methodology? Mm-hmm. Or is it more kind of what we do with as modern humans with little romance, little spicy time, a little warming it up before you get to the main event. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I also wonder how much kissing and foreplay there was. And I mean, maybe this is kissing and hugging and snuggling and foreplay there was way back in the day. And maybe it's just media that's made me think this, you know, that like ancient man and ancient woman were just like much more animalistic about it. But maybe that was like a crude situation. Maybe they were like the Croods, and there was like a beautiful a family vibe, and they did snuggle, and they did,
You think that actual Neanderthals were like the Croods? That's your scientific opinion.
Well, I think it was more a Croods situation than a Flintstones situation. When I'm looking on historical documentation of the times,
You're saying that less Wilma and more. I don't know. What are they doing, the Croods? Are they smooching?
Well, it's a DreamWorks, so I imagine that they arch their eyebrow and they do like a fart joke at some point, and they're like, oh, and they've got attitude, the Croods. Oh, they've got tood. That's what I would imagine. Tude? The Croods got tood is what I would imagine.
That's probably the byline. I think that's the catchphrase that they use.
Yeah, that's what they use. The Croods got tood.
Yeah.
I do wonder. I do wonder like what was human affection like around that time, right? And was Neanderthal affection kind of the same, or the expression of affection?
Well, there's some actual scientific data about this.
Croods?
It turns out not any of the DreamWorks properties touch on this scientific data.
Seems weird.
Yeah, it does seem weird.
In
2017, an anthropologist at Pennsylvania State University by the name of Laura Weirich, she was studying some ancient Neanderthal teeth that were discovered in this cave in northwest Spain, outer Spain, mm-hmm. and was looking to discover the kinds of things that they were perhaps eating, what their diet consisted of. And what she discovered was that there was
a Neanderthal and a human, and their braces were locked together, and their skulls over the years, their ancient braces were locked together after a particularly big smooch.
Yeah. She found them She found them inside a closet where they clearly had been spending 7 minutes in heaven.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Isn't that the plot of the Croods? I believe that is the plot of Croods 2. Still crooding.
Still crooding. No? That's what they call it. It's Croods 2, still crooding.
What she found was a bacteria.
Okay.
On the teeth, that is a microorganism that lived within ancient humans as well. And she studied this and determined that this particular microorganism, this bacteria, drifted apart from the kind that we have in our mouths today about 120,000 years ago. Okay, so she's comparing the Neanderthal version with the modern human version of the same bacteria, but they're very different, and they diverged what she estimated to be 120,000 years ago, which is surprising because they would have expected this to have happened much earlier, at least 450,000 years ago. That even though that Neanderthals and present day humans shared the same oral microbiome, basically, some of it, they would have expected the divergence to happen 450,000 years ago, which is obviously much longer ago. So
they found a Neanderthal Highlander, is what you're saying.
that lived, and there could be only one. And then it, and your theory here is that the Neanderthal Highlander lived for hundreds of thousands of years and spent that time just going into caves and smooching folks.
Who wants to live forever? Who wants to live forever? When love must die. It's kind of a Neanderthal Highlander situation. A crude Highlander.
Not so much, but it does lender. Sync up. Crude Slander. Man. Your fanfic mashups are getting more and more sophisticated, Anthony, and I'm impressed.
You've got to. If you're going to stand out on Archive of Our Own, you've got to. Because, I mean, listen, how many times can Sonic fuck something different? You know what I mean?
Well, you've been answering that question for over a decade with your writing.
I do have a 300 chapter fanfic where Sonic meets Count Chocula and Frankenberry to a lesser extent. And they do get romantic. Please check that out on my AO3 page.
The thing I like most about that series is that you put it out serialized.
Tell me more about this, Crudelander.
So these 120,000 years ago mark syncs up rather interestingly with the time we think the boning down between interspecies started happening. It's one of the first time periods that inbreeding between humans and Neanderthal seems to be happening. So one possible route for this version of this microorganism to be in Neanderthal mouths that should be just been in human mouths is that we were sharing mouth space. You know what I'm saying? We were doing a little bit of the tonsil hockey.
Is there,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, is it possible that the reason that this all started happening as Neanderthals were dying out is, you know, not enough Neanderthals around. So you start hanging out in the early human caves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. I mean, they did find...
We look similar. We look compatible. Let's go.
Well, they did find a lot, a group of Neanderthal remains in a cave that had long history of inbreeding because there just wasn't anything else around to continue the species with.
Yeah.
And they also met their doom through cannibalism. So there was a lot of Neanderthal just like, well, it's the only thing I got in front of me type of a situation.
Not a good time, the end of Neanderthal society.
Not a good time.
Not a good time. I mean, unless you made it to one of those human caves.
Yeah, you got to get to the human cave or
you get to the human caves.
You're going to have a bad time.
They're doing early agriculture and sex. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? You don't have to eat a relative or not have sex or have sex with a relative. You don't have to do that. Head on over to one of the human caves.
Yeah.
They got agriculture and sex.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, I honestly do think that's part of the Croods too. I do think in the Croods too, I do think there's an early human family and the Croods.
Yeah. I mean, you can't call it crude without getting a little crude. You know what I'm saying?
That's, you know what? I never put that together.
Yeah.
That's very funny. That's why they call them the Croods.
You always know it's funny when someone says it like that.
Oh, I had not realized that. That's very funny because they are crude.
They're crude.
Huh.
So there is an alternative theory as to why this microbiome might be in mouths. It, you know, kissing could certainly have been it, but also if they had shared meals between species, right? But
sure.
I feel like if you're sharing
one
meals,
one leads to the other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. It's they did find tiny little ancient candles.
Yeah,
and a tiny little ancient record player with
was
ancient
there evidence
Barry
of
White
a
on it?
Was there evidence? Was there like a cave painting of like a prefix menu?
Yeah, with really absorbent stone prices.
Yeah, you know? Yeah,
14 boulders. Whoa!
Listen, if you're going out and you're going to spend 14 boulders, you hope that it ends well for both parties. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You want to have a little bit of
a little bit of a special night, you know, share that microbiome.
So another thing that might be, speaking of crude, we might have to delve into a little bit of crude talk.
Okay.
Is organ shape and size and design, you know? So our closest living relatives on the planet to humans, the bonobo chimpanzees, putting the bone in bonobo this week, they share around 99% of our DNA.
Great.
They have, I don't know if you know this, but they have penile spines.
Yes, I had heard of that.
Yeah, so they are very, very closely related to humans. Like I said, 99% of our DNA, but very different penises. They have, the penile spine is a tiny, they have tiny barbs on them. Those are made from the same substance as skin and hair. But they basically, we think they are evolved to sort of have cleared out sperm from other mates to, you know, try to preserve the male's, you know, pathway there.
Yeah.
And also to have caused a little bit of discomfort, chafing for the female to discourage any mate very soon after the male is done. Not great for the females of the species historically, you know. But as you probably are aware, humans don't have that. We don't have any barbs, no spines, no penile spines.
Of course I don't. Of course I don't, Jeff.
Right. You're aware.
Like every other human, I am aware of the fact that we, human men, don't have any penile spines. And that's not something that I'm going to have to rectify immediately. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah. So back in 2013, scientists discovered that the genetic code for penile spines, which is lacking in Neanderthals, just as it is for modern humans, they discovered that it vanished from our collective ancestors at least 800,000 years ago.
Okay.
All right.
So we're talking about interchangeable parts here.
Well, we're talking about the fact that for whatever reason, that long ago, even though it was up to 40,000 years ago that Neanderthals lived, so a huge span of time there, they evolved out of needing it, right? They had smooth penises, nice smooth penises like we all have, like all of us in this call.
Of course.
All of us in this discussion have.
Human men like
normal,
myself
smooth.
And others do not have any small barbs in a spiral around the circumference of their and length of their penis. And that's right. Once again, is not something I'll have to talk to command about.
Right. So why did they evolve to not need this? And why did they last so long without needing it? Obviously chimpanzees retained it. Well, it turns out that we suspect that penile spines are useful in more promiscuous species, right? I described the genetic usefulness for having them.
Yeah, sure. And don't need a bicep really if you're not throwing a football. Yeah,
exactly.
If you're not using it, you don't need it.
Right. So if a species is less promiscuous, the penis itself doesn't need to have defenses against lots of other sperm in the area, et cetera, et cetera. I don't need to spell it out for our audience. They're very smart people.
Yeah. Smart people with normal human penises, just like me.
So this has led to speculation, since they clearly didn't need the penile spine, that Neanderthals and ancient humans were mostly monogamous, or at least more monogamous than bonobo chimpanzees.
Okay. So it was a crude situation.
Maybe it might be even a Flintstone situation, sort of the Rubbles. You know, if you're thinking about the Rubbles.
Oh.
You know, Betty and Barney.
Yeah.
Betty and Barney, they're, you know, I think that Fred and Wilma have their troubles.
Sure.
But Barney and Betty. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
You would think they would have a very strained marriage, what with Bam Bam causing them all kinds of stress.
The two of them are so good natured, though. And I think
they just
that's
feel like they're made for each other.
Yeah, I feel like that's the difference that they have over Fred and Wilma is they're very good natured and Fred and Wilma are not.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're monogamous. They are
kissers?
Compatible. They're physically compatible. Does this mean that Neanderthals were shacking up with humans long term?
Yeah, that's what we think. We think it is very much a Croods situation that there was, you know, we think that much like modern humans, there was a 9-month gestation period and a long period of nursing from the mother's breast, and that mostly cohabitation happened in and around where the male, the paternal part of the process mm-hmm. resided.
Yeah.
They think that they basically kind of created a modern Stone Age family. And we don't know exactly why the Neanderthals went extinct. There is some actual evidence that is outlined in this story that maybe a lot of it had to do with STDs, that the Neanderthals were just sort of preternaturally disinclined to be able to be resilient to very common STDs like HPV.
Oh, yeah, sure. So they were just genetically different enough to where it was it was harmful to them. But so, I mean, my question is also this, though, Jeff, if we all have 1-3% of a Neanderthal brain, if we all have Neanderthal DNA inside of us, did we not just breed out the Neanderthal? Did we are we also Neanderthal more than we thought we were?
That's the other hypothesis that's outlined here is that maybe they didn't go extinct, but literally we just absorbed them. interbreeded so much, and they had a smaller population size in total that they just sort of became part of us. We just interbreeded with them until they kind of went extinct as
wild.
A unique species. Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow. So part of me is descended from the Highlander.
I don't think you've been gathering anything from what I've been saying.
Hunter gathering what you've been saying. You know what I'm saying?
You've just been thinking about movies this whole time.
Well,
various movies.
To be fair, I was thinking of the animated series version of the Flintstones and not the live action John Goodman Flintstones.
Okay, well, I guess
so.
I
it's
guess
a mix of movies and
there.
TV. Thank you, Jeff. This is an award-winning science podcast. My mind's not just on movies.
Oh, good.
It's also on classic
worried.
Television.
Classic animated television.
And also, if I can be honest, when I think about the Highlander, sure, I think about the Queen soundtrack to the film. But when I think about the Highlander, I mostly think about the Adrian Paul television series.
Good. That's good. That eases my mind.
So, yeah, I'd say I've absorbed a lot of information, just like we absorbed Neanderthals. See?
Yeah.
Well, I get things.
I think that the pertinent takeaway here, other than your burgeoning media podcast, is we fucked Neanderthals out of existence. Whether it was
is this a high
STDs?
Five situation? Is this a situation where we as two dudes high five?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know when
Neanderthal.
I don't know when bros are supposed to do that. But it sounded like maybe when you said we fucked those Neanderthals out of existence, I was supposed to be like, yeah, we did, buddy, and then we would high five and maybe do a keg stand.
I see why you would think that, perhaps, but I was saying it with a sense of shame. And real confusion.
But also, you don't have to be ashamed of your sexuality, Jeff. And I think that's something
that's
we should, you know?
I guess you're right.
I think what we've learned is, you know, if you're gonna fuck a species out of existence, you do it. You hang your head. Proud.
All right. Okay. Just like the Croods.
Yeah, you know? Just like the Croods would. Quick, name a Crood.
Bob Crood.
Yeah.
Is Bob Crood a Crood?
He's good. Yeah, he's the funny one. Bob Crood. Listen. This is not our Croods fan cast. If you want our Croods fan cast, you have to join the Patreon. That's a bonus of the Patreon.
Please join the Patreon so that we get a listener to our Croods fan cast.
You don't get a Croods fan cast. You should, but you don't. What you do get is bonus audio, early episodes. And of course, like Jeff said, for a dollar or more a month, you get access to our Discord, which is where all the coolest Croods are hanging out.
That's right. There's all kinds of stuff to talk about in the Discord. The Croods.
B-movie.
The Croods sequel. Man, it's just, it's vibrant and alive with the best folks. We urge you to join it.
We talk about it all on this Discord that's dedicated to this science podcast.
But there's also lots of other content you can get for becoming a patron, including those little conversations that we're having at the beginning of every episode. You get the entire one, the entire thing. It's bonus audio. There's hangouts where you get to hang out with us. Yeah, we get to hang out with you.
As you're listening to this, if you're listening on the day that it comes out, we have got a hangout on the way for this coming Tuesday. So you're just a few days away from jumping on cam with me and Jeff. We do a big group hangout session, and it's a lot of fun, and we enjoy it. And we hope that you do too. Head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. Jeff, I'm not death obsessed.
You're just death adjacent?
Yeah. I think we're all death adjacent. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And
more
when
and more
I
every day.
And when I say that, I want you to know that I say that as somebody who is not obsessed with death. Okay?
Yeah, I hear you. Are we about to talk a lot about death, though?
What's a lot?
I mean, I guess it's good. I guess you got to balance that. We talked about sex. Now we got to talk about death. You know, it's kind of the balance.
Yeah. And then we'll talk about taxes. Am I right?
Hey-o.
Taxes. Jeff, what if I told you that there was a complex mathematical system that could tell you what your chance of dying was every single day?
I mean, it sounds like you've developed some sort of widget or app that you can display at all times that would give you the running total of your death. You call it your death integer.
And, now, can I tell you something, Jeff? And this is not, once again, I'm not death obsessed, and this is not weird. This is just, you brought it up. There was an opening to this. And so I'm simply going to discuss it, because that's what you do in a normal human conversation when two people with normal human penises get together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did at one point have a screensaver on all of my computers that counted down until my estimated day of death, based on the normal average life expectancy of a human being in America.
Those are some depressing flying toasters, you know, I think.
I mean, it depends on how you look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The toasters themselves are still whimsical, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Unless there's a bit of whimsy as the number ticks down.
But Jeff, that wasn't an exact number, because I don't know the day I'm going to die. I'm counting down to some averaged out insurance actuarial table version of when I'm going to die based on the average human life expectancy of however many years. That's not me looking at my day. What if I told you there was a way to look at your day planner, plan out your day, and know exactly what your chance of dying was that day? Isn't that exciting?
Wow, you've sold me. This from the same man that wanted to have flying coffins hovering inches behind every human as they walked around, so that at one point, if you died, the coffin would just absorb your corpse and jettison it elegantly into space.
That was simply a dream I had that I found very calming and beautiful, Jeff.
I know.
That was not.
I know, but you wanted it to be real.
I don't. I mean, it seems practical. Does it not?
In a way. I will grant you, in a way, it seems practical.
Jeff, I was introduced this week, going down a Wikipedia rabbit hole, to the concept, because, you know, it was Wikipedia's 20th anniversary last week.
Oh, yeah.
20 years old.
Yay.
So I was doing some Wikipedia bouncing around, as I often do, and I found the article for the Micromort.
Micromort.
Jeff.
Oh, God.
The Micromort is a unit of risk defined as a 1 in a million chance of death.
Okay.
All right. Uh-huh. And you can use Micromorts to measure how risky every day-to-day activity you may come across is.
So multiple micromorts means, you know, like you have a 2 in a million, 4 in a million. So if 17 micromorts, it's 17 in a million.
Yes. At the time. Yes. At the time you're doing the activity.
Yeah.
Because what you do is you take a sum of all of your activities that you're doing.
Yeah.
And that is your current at that moment. You're in a million chance of dying.
Okay.
How exciting is this?
Oh, it's thrilling. So give me some examples. What kinds of things sure. will crank up my micromort score?
Oh, well, I mean, there's the usual stuff that you would think of like as being very dangerous. But here's the thing. The stuff that you think of as dangerous. Here's why I love the micromort. What about like hang gliding, Jeff? That sounds pretty dangerous, right?
Seems like a lot of micromorts involved. Yeah, Jeff, it's a high micromort scale.
What if I told you that hang gliding was only 8 micromorts per trip?
What?
Based on the number of people that have gone hang gliding and the number of people that have died hang gliding in all of history, based on our numbers, it's only 8 micromorts, my dude. Get on the hang glider.
Can you tell me what the micromort scale of getting into my car and driving out of my driveway is?
Yes. I can. Hold, please.
Because if it's higher than hang gliding, I mean, I guess it would have to be higher than hang gliding, right? There's more people die in car accidents every year than in hang gliding catastrophes.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can tell you this. Let me, while I'm looking for the car, because there is the car, I'm gonna tell you this, buddy. You know, running a marathon?
How many micromorts did I do 7 times?
So that's 26 micromorts, one per 26? Mile.
26!
Hang gliding, 8 micromorts. Skydiving, 8 micromorts.
What?
Walking 17 miles, a single micromort. Driving 230 miles, a single micromort.
Wait a minute. Walking how many miles was that? Walking how many miles was
17.
So 17
miles. I can walk
17 miles, but if I jog 26.2, it skyrockets up.
It skyrockets, buddy. Because wow. Running is for dicks and it's going to kill you. Micromorts. Generally, being alive averages out on a day-to-day basis, a normal human life, 24 micromorts a day.
Wow.
Just living. JK living, as Matthew McConaughey says.
You have a 24 in a million chance to die every single day, regardless of what you do.
Every day you wake up, your alarm goes off, you're 24 micromorts in and you don't even know it.
You don't even know it.
You don't even know it, dude. Isn't that fascinating?
It is pretty fascinating. I'm wondering what the difference is in the year of our Lord 2021. Now that I literally walking out of my house in Los Angeles, it's got to be like a lot of micromorts. Now that I'm told like 1 in 3 people in LA County has had COVID at some point.
Jeff, it's like you're psychic, buddy. What if I told you I have those numbers right in front of you?
Oh, goody, goody. I can't wait to have my micromort. We got to sell micromort t-shirts. 24 today.
24 micromorts.
They could look like jerseys. You know, it just has your micromort number on the back.
Oh, that's good. I like that. So, micromorts. Well, here's the thing. If you are... infected with COVID, we know that COVID has about a 1-2% mortality rate. Mm-hmm. If you can get proper treatment. So that's 10,000 micromorts. If you catch it every mm-hmm. day, you have COVID is 10,000 micromorts.
Yeah.
But the thing is, COVID is so wild and it's changing things so much. it's changing every everyday activity like you're talking about. So getting coffee with a friend is not a micromort, right? But in the time of COVID, we need to know what the micromort is of getting coffee with a friend. So a group of researchers have created the micro COVID.
Okay.
It is a 1 in a million chance of getting COVID.
Ah, okay. And then that translates into the 10,000 micromorts.
Exactly. Yeah, so until
you're 1%, yeah.
Until you have COVID, COVID cannot change fundamentally the mortality of a specific event, because what you're talking about is COVID.
Right.
So what we need to
find, then enters into its own probability rate. So you're one step away from entering into the micromort rate. Gotcha. I get it.
Exactly. So it's how many micro COVIDs are going to give you COVID, and then that goes into the micromort. So getting coffee with a friend is 60 micro COVIDs. So, because it's getting coffee with a friend indoors gives you a 1 in 17,000 chance of getting COVID. Going out to buy groceries,
it's got to have regional variance, though, right? It's not the same if you're doing it in, you know, middle of nowhere, or if you're doing it in a country that actually did something. Like if I'm, you know, my rate in Australia is not going to be the same as my rate here in Los Angeles, which is just fucking up everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Micro COVIDs are basically, they're based on an area where you, where 1 in 1,000 people currently has COVID.
Right. So, it's 1 in 1,000 here.
Yeah. So it would be worse here in LA. But if it's a 1 in 1,000,
3 supposedly,
we're having a real bad time. We're having a real bad time. But if you're at a normal place of 1 in 1,000, going out to buy groceries, 20 micro COVIDs, having a small party indoors, no mask, 3,000 micro COVIDs.
Yeah. Not wise.
30 minute commute on the train. 100 to 200 micro COVIDs. And there is a calculator which we can link if you're, listen, not obsessed with death, because as I said, I'm not obsessed with death.
Right. What would make you believe that you were? What evidence could there possibly be that you might be thinking about this all the time?
Literally none. So, but we will put this calculator in if you want to calculate it, if you're the sort of person. I understand people who want to not calculate it at all.
And yes.
That's cool too. They have created the micro COVID, and there are micro morts for that. But what I love is that there are micro morts for everything else, regular things, right? Things that you would think, like, how dangerous is this? Like, for instance, I've got a list of things here that increase your death risk by only one micro mort. Okay. This is just one micromort.
Yeah.
6 miles on a motorcycle. One micromort. 6 miles.
I would assume that would be way more micromorts. I would think getting on a motorcycle for any distance is a foolish endeavor.
I mean, you're not wrong. Speaking as somebody who has proudly had a motorcycle license since he was 18, you're not wrong. But yeah, it's not super, 17 miles by walking, as we said, 10 or
single
20
micromort.
Single micromort, 20 miles by bicycle, single micromort.
Huh. All right.
Like we said, 230 miles by car, single micromort.
230 by car.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's shocking. I feel just, like getting in a car
a
and driving 230 miles. That's a long way.
It's a long way.
Extremely long way.
Yeah. Only one micromort.
Wow.
See, and this is why, like, listen, once again, I'm not obsessed with debt. I'm not obsessed with death.
This feels to me a little bit like the Weight Watchers meal planning of life. You know, in Weight Watchers, you like, well, I've got, you know, 200 points to spend during the day. Am I going to spend it on this cupcake, or am I going to spend it on, you know, 16 other things because they're all lower in points? That's how I feel like you can be with the micromort. Yeah,
exactly.
You can divvy up your risk. You can calculate how much risk you want for a given day and be like, I'm going to drive 230 miles today. rather than running a marathon.
Yeah, buddy, I'm telling you, you got to get to 100,000 micromorts in a day before you have a 10% chance of death. And that's what I'm saying. This is not an obsession with death. This is looking at risks and looking at fears and being like, okay, but how afraid should I be?
Yeah.
How afraid should I realistically be?
This is something that should encourage us to live life a little more boldly. Yeah.
Buddy, you could go 48 miles by motorcycle today, or you can hang glide. Which one do you want to do? You know what I mean?
I feel like hang gliding is going to be the one I choose.
That's what I'm saying. You could go hang gliding today if you want to. That's exciting. Yeah. And it's like, it's no more dangerous than like riding a motorcycle 48 miles.
How many micro COVIDs is hang gliding with a friend?
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But here's, you know, now here's something, Jeff. Giving birth.
Oh, yeah.
Now here we've said hang gliding, 8 micromorts, right?
Yeah.
Motorcycling. I've got scuba diving. I've got flying in a jet here. It's all good. Vaginal birth is 120 micromorts.
Wow.
Cesarean, 170 micromorts.
Wow. This is for the mother, not for the child.
This is for the mother.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about giving birth, not being born.
Yeah. So that's what I've been saying for the longest time. Don't have babies, hang glide. We've been trying to get that to catch on. Stop having babies, start hang gliding.
Stop, listen, hang gliding over babies.
Gliding over giving birth, I guess. I don't know.
It's,
man, that is a wild thing. What's the old line? Statistics, lies, bad lies, and statistics. Are the three types. Yeah. Lies. Damn lies and statistics is what it is. But that's kind of how it feels. It's like these are statistics. This is math. This is based on actual recorded data, but it seems to me to be painting a misleading picture, but maybe it's just my intuition that's misleading. And I guess where our emotions are tied up into things and it feels like, well, I'm going to risk those things because I want them more. You know?
Yeah. Or some things are normalized, right? Where
that's really what it is. You're right.
Some things are super normal. Like getting in a car is super normalized.
Right.
But like, you know, it's like
hang gliding is not.
Yeah. It's like every teacher will tell you, every driver's ed coach will tell you in high school, it's like, hey, you're taking control of a 1-ton death machine.
Yes.
Every time you get behind the wheel, you are driving a 1-ton explosive death machine. And like, I'm doing it like eating a bagel, backing up and like not looking out of, you know, and I'm checking my texts and I'm like,
yeah,
because I do it every day. And so I'm calm. It's part of my life. I've been acclimated to it. You know, by the way, if you're looking for dangers for a baby, I have those too.
Oh, good. If you're looking for dangers for a baby, check out Anthony's online store.
You looking for dangers for a baby? I got them. All my outlets are uncovered.
Corners sharpened.
I've sharpened every corner in the house. I have taken apart everything to its smallest constituent components. And
Anthony
left them lying at 12 to 18 inches off the ground.
That's right. All of his most toxic chemicals kept in the low shelves.
And I
the open low shelves.
Yeah. And my toys are kept on the high shelves because those are my cool collector's toys, kid. Yeah.
Anthony painstakingly.
Drink bleach, kid. Don't touch my stuff.
Anthony painstakingly paints all his most dangerous chemicals to look like candy and paints all his candy to look like chemicals.
Yeah, I keep my Tide Pods in the candy drawer. All causes, the first day of life for a child, for a baby, newborn baby, 430 micromorts.
Yeah.
Which is one of
babies,
the
high. Babies
want to
die. They want to die. That's all
dude,
they
there's
want.
Nothing babies want more.
They're trying every day to die. And as a parent, your only job is to try to lower the micromort number.
That's all you're trying to do. And but I'll tell you this. So you remember how I said that the average human being, you wake up in the morning and it's 24 micromorts a day?
Yeah.
First year of life for a child in the United States, 16.7 per day. So parents are doing it, man.
I guess that's pretty great to hear.
Parents are doing it. It takes a village, and that village is handling it. It should absolutely be safer to be a baby than it should be to be an adult. And we did it. We nailed that. It's 33% safer to be a baby. What I'm saying is try to stay a baby if you can.
That first year is so much safer than every subsequent year.
Just don't stop being a baby. I wish I had never stopped.
It's so great.
Your odds of being murdered or non-negligent manslaughtered in the United States, because there's a difference.
Yeah,
48 micromorts a year.
No matter what, no matter who you are.
48 a year. That's the average. 48 micromorts a year.
Man, you're telling me that it's more likely to be for me to be murdered than it is for me to die riding 6 miles on a motorcycle?
No. Because that's. Yeah, well, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. Every day that you ride 6 miles on a motorcycle is equivalent to the same chances of death of you being murdered in a year.
You know why that is?
Why?
I figured it out. Because they can't catch you when you're on a motorcycle.
Oh, definitely not.
You're going to get away from other murderers.
I've seen whatever. Was it John Wick 3? What John Wick is it with the motorcycle? I've seen it.
All of the John Wicks, they all have the motorcycle.
Yeah, but the one has like the motorcycle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
First one, I think, is mostly the car. The second one, I think, is like all motorcycle, like in a tunnel. And he's like,
oh, yeah, that's
really Keanu
thing where
Reeves.
He's doing the tunnel thing and getting all those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, that's only 48 micromorts.
If you're Keanu
Reeves,
your micromorts are way lower because you're the Neo. You're the one. You're the chosen one. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're John fucking Wick, my guy. Scuba diving, 5 micromorts a dive. Go ahead and go scuba diving.
I find that.
Go ahead. Go ahead and go skiing.
Really?
A day of skiing is only 0.7 micromorts.
Wow.
Yeah, go skiing.
Well, that's a Sonny Bono. I mean.
Do the thing. Now, I will say, base jumping.
Yeah.
Base jumping, which was made cool in the early 2000s. We thought everybody was base jumping.
Oh, yeah. Base jumping. We were like, everybody knew somebody that was base jumping in the 90s.
We all thought that base jumping was like a common thing.
Yeah.
It was like, for some reason, it became a thing that all movies and TV were obsessed with, where it was just like, oh yeah, and you just climb up to the top of a building and you hold a parachute in your hand and you jump. Everybody's doing it.
How many micromorts was that all those movies showing us?
430 per jump.
Whoa. Yeah. That's like having a baby level of danger.
Yeah. It's like having 4 babies. You could have 4 babies.
If you talk to any base jumper, they will tell you that the feeling is like
it's just like having 4 babies. Now, here's something that's very crazy. Jeff, have you ever dreamed? We've talked about
this.
I've
never dreamed, no.
Of climbing Mount Everest.
Oh, of course. Just so that I could base jump off of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm about. I heard there's a zip line that'll take you down once you're up there. It's extreme. It's sponsored by Monster Energy Drink. Mount Everest is 37,932 micromorts per ascent.
Wow, that's a lot of micromorts, bro.
That's a lot of micromorts, bro.
You know how many babies I can have with those micromorts?
That's all like the babies.
That's an army of babies.
That's almost 1,000 babies.
How many hang gliding trips I could take with those micromorts?
Yo, Brock, don't climb the mountain. Just
don't
go hang gliding.
Up there. Just hang glide a whole bunch. You could base jump like 50 times for that.
Now, I will tell you this. If you're looking for a mountain to climb, that still sounds impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Can I please direct you to the Matterhorn, which is only 2,840 micromorts per ascent. So still dangerous, but
way less.
15 times less dangerous than climbing Everest.
This article ranks every mountain? It's got all the mountains?
I don't have every mountain, no.
It's impressive.
I mean, I could calculate that if you needed, but I don't, because now that I know the power of the micromort.
Yeah.
And there is, I will put, there is a form that you can fill out.
Wow.
Where that will tell you your chance of micromorts for the day based on normal human activities.
Like I want to rank foods in micromort. Like what food am I most likely to die from? I want to rank, I want to know everything.
Yeah. Isn't it fun? Now that I know, I want to know it all.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see.
The economy of micromorts is a fascinating one to me, because the idea of being able to do things multiple times instead of doing something else one time, based on how likely you are to die. It just puts my head into a completely different space, you know? I love that.
Yeah. And it, you know, and it mostly like when you look at the dangers of the average, like walk into the coffee shop, right? Or like taking my dog on a walk, right? If I take my dog on a walk around the park, it's like a mile, right?
Yeah.
I take 17 of those walks. That's a micromort, you know,
mm-hmm.
which like, but like hang gliding is 8 micromorts. It's no more dangerous than like, you know,
8 walks
than like less than 100 walks. You sitting around doing nothing, you've got 24 micromorts. You might as well add 8 micromorts and do something you've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Don't do it during COVID, but like later, because there are still micro COVIDs to worry about.
Yeah. And right now in Los Angeles, the air quality is bad because of all the crematoriums that are burning bodies, which is not something I'm joking about or made up. It's really a news item that I read this morning. So,
yeah. So what happened was we lowered emissions and actually increased the air quality in LA during the initial lockdown and quarantine process. And the air quality has been better than average in LA, but unfortunately, we're letting so many people die of the COVID that we had to lift some restrictions on limits for crematoriums.
Yeah. They're able to pollute the air more because there's just too many bodies piling up.
It's just too many bodies. And so we gotta, so what we're saying is right now, be safe.
Be safe, please.
Stay inside.
Yeah.
Do the right thing.
Wear a mask.
But once you've got two doses of that good vaccine in your arm.
Yeah. And 14 days after that.
Go outside and do the thing you've always wanted to do, because maybe it's not as dangerous as you think. And it's worth the experience.
This is amazing. It recontextualizes so much about life. So many things that I would want to do or not do. It's fascinating, but it's also kind of crazy that, I mean, the one thing I'm stuck on is the 24 in a million people that die every single day, no matter what, no matter what. There's no changing that. There's no reducing that number.
That's life, baby.
It's 24 in a million.
Woo!
Dead. Yeah.
Let's go hang gliding. I'll go hang gliding.
So let's go hang gliding, dude. I'd love to go hang gliding. I've always wanted to go hang gliding.
Me too. I've never, I've said it many times. I've never been interested in jumping out of a plane.
I've done that.
That seems foolish and unpleasant, and I don't think I would have a good time doing it, but I think I would have a good time hang gliding.
I've jumped out of a plane and jumped out of a helicopter. Helicopter's cool.
Did you have fun either time?
Oh, yeah. It was amazing.
Really?
Are you kidding? It was incredible. Yes. You feel like you're going to die. It's great.
It wasn't just like cold and windy and loud and bad.
It was all of those except that last one. It was cold and windy and loud, but it was amazing. It was awesome.
I don't know. Doesn't sound interesting to me.
I was living the micromorts, baby. They were like,
you were living that Brock life. You were high into the micromort scale.
Yeah.
But not as high as you would think. Hey.
Not as high as I would think.
Everybody, we hope that we've inspired you mostly to give us money.
Yeah, that was really the point, is that, you know what's really low on the micromort scale? Giving us money. But also,
it's such a rush, though. It's such a rush.
It feels good. It's like jumping out of a helicopter, strapped to a hang glider, base jumping while having 4 babies.
That's so many morts.
So good. Just giving us $5 feels like that.
You get bonus episodes of the show. You get bonus conversations. You get early episodes. You get Discord access. And like we're saying, we like hanging out in the Discord. Discord is a beautiful and wonderful space where people are just hanging and sharing wonderful stuff. If you want to support the show and you're enjoying it, we hope that you'll head to patreon.com/weHaveConcerns.
Yeah, because what other show inspires you to cheat death with mathematics?
Yeah.
You know?
Cheating death with math. And hey, if you join by the 26th, which is next Tuesday at the time this is being recorded, you can join our monthly patron hangout and hang out with us and other concerned citizens and just have a great time. Patreon.com/weHaveConcerns.